Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. And those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This show is hosted by the members of the Time to Leave movement. The Time to Leave movement consists of members of the Nation of Islam who believe and are putting into action the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that it is time for us to separate from our former slave masters and form a nation of our own. If you discuss this possibility, this inevitability from our point of view, with average people, Negroes, Caucasians, they'll look at you like you're crazy, because neither one of them believe that black people can live independently of white people. They'll tell you it's a pipe dream and that it can't happen. But we believe that it's inevitable, and it's the only thing that's going to bring peace between the two peoples as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So the Time to Leave movement, we heard the instructions by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan last Day of Atonement last year, when he told us separation or death. And in particular, Dr. Ridgely decided to move out. He asked the members of the Ministry of Agriculture who wanted to work on plans to separate. So that's who we are. This is who the Time to Leave movement is, and this is who's putting this show on. We are the ones that say it is time for us to separate. So what are we going to do about it? Many people may say to us, well, why don't you all just wait until the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan tells you where to go and what to do. Well, he's told us what to do, and we are making the plans. So this is the channel, this is the station to answer questions, you know, about separation. And tonight in particular, we have our panel discussion, our time to leave panel discussion. And you can ask us questions, you can give us your comments, you can tell us how you feel about our subject matter, you can tell us what areas you think we need to cover, and we will entertain your and try to answer your questions as best as we can. If you tuned in last week, we had a wonderful show. Our guest was United Investment Group Controlling Community in Jackson, Mississippi, and our guest was Brother Sean Seals Muhammad. He was on our show because he and his investment group and brothers and sisters in Jackson, Mississippi are striving and making serious gains in controlling their local community. Our motto here at the Time to Leave movement is to either control the community that you live in or move to a community that you can control. And the dynamics are such that, and the unity is such that in Jackson, Mississippi, that they are in a position to be able to seriously make attempts to control their local community. And so if you haven't heard that show, we advise you to listen to last week's show so you can get inspired by Brother Sean's explanation of what they're doing in Mississippi. So tonight we're going to have our panel discussion, and I see one of our panelists is on the line right now. I'm going to open her line. Sister Majida Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, Brother Carlton. How are you?
Well, I am well.
I was going to say, I'm right here with you, so I probably already know you're doing well. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Well, it is some protocols involved, so thank you for asking.
Yes.
I want to apologize to the audience because I'm just remembering I had some technical difficulties with my microphone. I wasn't able to detect it. So going forward, if you all hear me some technical difficulties with my mic, please let me know. I may be able to make some adjustments. So how do I sound now, Sister Majida?
Coming through loud and clear. I know last week, as you said, you were going in and out throughout the show, but I haven't experienced or heard any of that at this point. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. I see another one of our panelists is on the line right now. Two of them. I see Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann. I'm going to open their mics right now.
Assalamualaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Welcome,
ma'am.
Yes,
welcome,
sir.
To the
yes,
Time
ma'am.
To Leave Blog Talk Radio Show.
Thank you
yes.
so much.
Well, I'm gonna let y'all talk for a minute because I am multitasking, in particular writing checks to my workers, and that's very important. So I'm here.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So
how are you doing, Sister Ann?
Oh, I'm doing fine by Allah's grace. We're trying to hunker down. I was going to call you earlier, but I was, as he said, he's multitasking. That's what I was doing earlier also. And trying to decide what we're going to do leading up to this forecasted bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, we're out here. And if it rains too much, we won't be able to get out. So we have made some plans in advance of that I will let you know about once we get off the call.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you bring an interesting point to mind, Sister Ann. When Allah blesses us to have our own community, at some point we're going to have to arrange and manage our own emergency services.
Exactly. You are exactly right. And we should be a lot farther ahead with that than we are right now. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've been to training where it seems that one of the things that's being promoted is that we just go and take advantage of what the Red Cross is offering. But in my opinion, that should not be the resort that we in the nation are looking to.
Right.
We have to have our own system in place. I remember when I was working in state government, we had this in every city, I'm supposing, but I know in my city, we had this emergency situation where everybody, every agency was on this rotary system. And they did training to let you know when you got this call, then you were responsible for calling the next agency and the next agency and so forth and so on. So in my opinion, we have to have something like that. And I know the believers, Brother Carlton, really appreciated you taking the lead on yesterday and putting together an emergency preparedness call to all the believers in the Albany area. And I'm sure that was very much appreciated.
Well, praise be to Allah. You know, as my wife and I, you know, we're organizing, getting ready, and, you know, it comes to mind, what about the other believers, you know? It's number one, I'm an avid, I try to watch the news every day, but not everybody watches the news every day. As you know, a weather event this quickly paced can be upon you and you not be prepared for it. And so in that, the purpose we had to call was so that we can touch base with all the study group members, make sure, number one, make sure everybody is aware, and number two, impress upon their minds the severity of the event and to make decisions whether to, number one, stay in place and shelter in place, or number two, get out of harm's way, and number three, if you stay in place, make sure that you have everything that you need for no less than 3 days survival without power and without being able to cook your food. So, yes, ma'am, it was definitely something that that everybody should do, you know, when impending danger is on the way.
Right, right. Well, that was a great idea, and thank you so much for that.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm back. So, what's the question?
Well, go ahead, Stran.
Well, we had just gotten off of discussing disaster preparedness, and that, so now I guess we're ready to go into what was the show about last week.
Yes, ma'am. We have Brother Sean Seals Muhammad and the Universal Investment Group, and the brother and his group were working hard to control the community that they live in. And I believe, Dr. Richard, this is the first guest we've had that really was trying to control the community that they live in, as opposed to discussing leaving and starting another community.
Well, yeah, this is the first time, even though we have not been prejudiced against those who want to control the communities that they live in, but this is the first time we've actually seen an example of some people who's doing it. And one of the things about it, they have been working on this for about 10 years, and it's only now that they feel comfortable to letting other people outside of their group to know what they're doing, which is following the instructions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who said that anything that's new, a new birth always happens in the dark, and it does not come forth until it's able, or should not make itself known until it's able to defend itself to some level. And like a seed, it first, a root goes down before it pushes its way up out of the earth to be seen. Its root goes down so that in case there's trouble, it is rooted or grounded. So it's that group and Jackson are rooted and grounded, and now it's time to show some of the leaves and the blossoms. And so I am indeed proud of them. I know Brother Hollis. I didn't know Brother Sean until I was in Jackson, but I know Brother Hollis. I've been here at the farm, and Brother Hollis, he came to my aid when I first got here because he had lived and worked on this farm when Donald B. Elijah Muhammad had it. And so he knew a lot about it, and he came to my aid to help guide me and to, you know, answer some questions for me when I first got here. So as a matter of fact, he came, you know, we're having a weed pulling festival next year. We tried to have it this year. We got rained out twice. But we did have a lot of watermelons up in 1996. We got here in 95. And 96, we planted a lot of watermelons, but they got, they're about to be taken over by weeds. And so we put a call out for FOI in the southern region to help us. And lo and behold, who showed up by himself?
Wow. By himself.
Brother Hollis.
I always remember Brother Hollis for that. You know, he brother got a little age on it. But like you said, you saw him running last Sunday, you know what I'm talking about? He got a little
I
age.
Sure did.
His brother is really a strong, athletic type of brother. Not big, but athletic. And so, yeah, he came out here to help us, me and Brother Akil, out here on the farm. And he came out here to help us to fight those weeds. So I always appreciate and love Brother Hollis for that. And I learned a lot from him while he was here and since then. He's one of those unsung heroes. And he's always been fighting for our liberation for a long time. He's very astute, and he's very organized and business-minded. And so he's been like the mentor for that group. And Brother Sean said he was glad to be taken underneath the wings by Brother Hollis.
Mm-hmm.
And showed,
that's right.
It showed two things. It showed the humbleness of Brother Sean.
Right.
And it showed the beneficence of Brother Hollis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes older brothers, they just like to look at you and say and shake their head. You know what I mean? But Brother Hollis, he actually has patience to work with you, not just talk about you, but to work with you. And so all praise is due to Allah. So there's hope for us that there's more people out there like Brother Hollis and like Brother Sean and that group who are in fact making some things happen in the dark. So when it's time, they'll spring forth and boom, we have a nation overnight. All praise due to Allah. But that was a great show. In turn, it showed something great that started in the dark and now has grown to a point that it can be manifested. And so all those naysayers, they just don't know. But that's okay. That's okay. Allah knows and has protected us in the dark. So it's now time for us in our different means and methods to produce the manifestation. So this is why we're working hard to produce one type of manifestation here around Muhammad Farm, a community of believers. Not just a community of black folk.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get away from white folk. But a community of black folk that wants to start an example righteous community and economically secure community. So that was a great trip. I think I almost lost Brother Carlton.
Almost.
Almost lost.
Yeah, he was really excited and inspired, wasn't he? You could hear it.
Yeah.
Almost praise be to Allah. Well, I got, so on that note,
Paulus will send me back. I send him back. He's trying to run. I'm sorry.
Well, on that note, I got a question in regards to that. Brother Sean really went into detail on a lot of what their group is doing and a lot of what their investors are doing. And so what could you sum up the key points that qualify them, in your opinion, that makes them a good candidate for being able to control their community as opposed to someone else that may think they have a desire to control their community, but they don't have in place some of the key things that Brother Sean and his team had.
First, I don't know about the other brothers outside of Brother Hollis, how grounded they are in their community. Like I said, Brother Hollis has been a civil rights and a black nationalist person for a long time in Mississippi. He's well known in Mississippi outside of the nation. Okay? People in the nation probably know less about Brother Hollis and the people in Mississippi in terms of his fighting and struggling for the people. Therefore, they have trust and faith in him, and he knows people to talk to find out about stuff. You know, it's not what you know, but who you know. And Brother Hollis is that who you know person. He knows the people that you need to know to get things done. That's number one. And number two, I like what they're doing in terms of that community up in Philadelphia, Mississippi, where they've already done some things that we're talking about doing. They had a tract of land. They cut that tract of land up into parcels and have sold the land and helped build houses on that land. And now they've gotten money from that, and they're getting ready to do some other development in the Philadelphia, Mississippi area, and also in Jackson, Mississippi. So, as they say, been there, done that, and now they're duplicating what they have done. Not talking about what they're going to do, but duplicating what they have already done. And, like, that's one of my other mantras that I keep in the Ministry of Agriculture, that we must develop examples, prototypes. When you get a prototype, then you can go out and get investors to build on that prototype. But you're not going to get people who got money to put no money into something that's just an idea. You're going to have to at least show some level of productivity and that you're able to follow through to a finished product. Then there are people who got money who will be willing to invest in you once you have invested in yourself by putting the time, the effort, the money into a project that you believe in, but that you have manifested it now, and so people can see it, touch it, ride in it, eat it, whatever it is, and now it's okay, I'm with you, what can we help you do? Again, like a help meet, but you don't need a help meet if you ain't got nothing to meet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have something for people to come up to a point, meet you at that level. So this is what those they have done. So those are the two, and the third thing. They are all friends,
right?
Okay? Not just believers at the mosque, but are friends. They go to each other's children's graduation, weddings. They go to each other's people's funerals, even though they didn't know the people, but because they were the family of the people in the group, they went to the funeral. You understand what I'm saying? So
yes, sir.
They are, in fact, friends, just like you, Sister Majida, Sister Ann, and myself. I can say that we are friends, not just Muslim believers, but Muslim believers who are friends. Now, You can then invest with friends, okay? And so this is what the five of them, or six of them, are friends first. Now they are business acquaintances, and they are together in partnership, in cooperation. But they are friends, and they know each other's weak points and strong points, and they're able to lift them up from their weak points and then draw from their strong points because they know each other. So those are the three things. Somebody who knows the landscape, knows people, knows who to get for what you need. A set of people who are willing to take a risk and start something on their own and take that risk. People who actually have a relationship with each other that can turn into an economic productivity. But you have that human bond. Word is bond, and bond is life. So once you have a group of people whose word is actually bond, then you can take that bond and build life upon that bond. So those are the three things.
Yes, sir. Thank you for making that plain. Yes, I'm going to take this minute to say to our listeners, if you have any, this is the time where you can, if you have any questions or comments about what we're discussing, this is the time to press that one on your keypad, and you will be the first one in the queue to get your question answered. So what do you think? We'd like to hear from you. What do you think about the details? How do you think that you can control the community that you live in? And is it feasible? Is it feasible where you live, in the city you live? So, yeah, press that one and give a comment or ask that question.
And if, like, if I could just – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just, Dr. Ridgely, feeding off of what you said, you know, when you were talking about Brother Sean and the relationship that they have among one another. And it was a theme that kind of ran through the conversation. There was so much that was shared on a business aspect and what they're developing, as well as the personal aspect and relationships. And, you know, that stuck out with me also when he was talking about just how much they spend time in developing their relationship with one another. And, you know, like you said, you know, learning strengths and weaknesses. You know, when you think about a relationship with somebody like that outside of just business, you know, you're almost making a mental investment, you know, with that person to find out who that person is. And you had even mentioned that you said relationships were developed over time and then opportunities were possible, that it was important to learn who we are and work together. And I remember he said one of the things he said was, you know, they have to be honest. And he mentioned honest twice. He said they have to be honest, and have a real love for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and get along. And I'm like you, the relationship aspect of it, that's important. That's important.
That's right.
And how we respect and trust one another and communicate, most important.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes people can be a little bit too honest, like me.
You know, can you be
Don't ask me a question that you want to, unless you want the answer. Okay, that's the way I am. Don't
is
ask
that
the
honest
question,
or is that just like good sense or practical? You know, because you know, yeah. I mean, why ask a question if you really don't want the answer?
Right. And another thing before I forget. Another thing that impressed me about Jackson, and you know, the minister intends to come to Birmingham and Jackson. Y'all heard that, right?
Yes, sir.
So
yes,
I'm glad that he is coming to Jackson, because Chukwe Lumumba, I knew him, and you know, he became the mayor of Jackson. Yet he died mysteriously.
Right.
I believe it was foul play.
Mm-hmm.
He's a longtime black nationalist revolutionary. And now his son has taken his place as mayor. Now, two things about that. Three things, really. Number one, that he had a son that was ready and willing to take up that mantle, okay? and two, that the people voted him in, let me know that they was giving the middle finger to hell whoever killed it. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And three, the courage of his son to step in to a situation where everybody suspects that it was foul play.
Mm-hmm.
So the courage and the love of the black community in Jackson to stand behind Chukwe by standing behind now his son, that's a message to the enemies of the black community that one soldier down, two soldiers up.
Right.
And so to me, that is, I'd be glad the minister does go there because the brother, the mayor, unlike other mayors who send people there to give Mr. Farrakhan the key to the city, I think this brother go be at the airport with the key. I mean, this brother really wants Mr. Farrakhan to come to his city. And, you know, that was, you know, why Victor Evans was killed was because he staged a successful boycott.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas boycott in Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
A successful one. And now we're talking, this, here come again, Christmas, and we're telling people to boycott Santa, you know, up with Jesus, down with Santa. But Medica Evers did that in Jackson. So the people of Jackson followed that lead. And now they got Chukwe's son now, and so it's really tribute to the black community in Jackson to not to kowtow, but to, in fact, to lift up and withstand. And so I really, and that the minister there, who is a part of the group, as a group member, not a minister, but as a group member, he just happens to be the minister or the brother in charge to the minister. He actually works for the city of Jackson.
For the minister.
You know, that's a unique situation. Okay? So
right.
I say all praise due to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And so, yeah, I'm glad our timing was good. You know, our timing was, we went to Jackson for various reasons, but our timing was such that Brother Sean and his investment group were ready to come out of their shell. And so Allah put everything together. And I hope, you know, that we all can benefit from his story and use his example to help our own communities and lift ourselves up.
Yep. Now, is anybody else on the line?
We have 19 callers, and they're all listening. So, callers, if you have any questions, you agree, you disagree, you heard last week's show, you got a comment that we overlooked, please press that one, and we'll bring you on immediately.
Yeah, y'all press the one, because I'm just trying to figure people out. You know, y'all listening. But what's on your mind? So,
we got somebody that accepted your challenge, Dr. Ridgely.
Thank you.
Okay, caller with the last four digits 8767. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Steven.
Islam.
Dallas, well, Dallas, Texas.
Islam.
My question was, had you got back with Brother Farouk on when you were all going? Going to be going back down there.
So what now?
Brother Farouk, have we heard from him, and are we planning another trip there to his place?
Okay. No, I haven't heard from him because he told us when we was up there that he was out, would not be back in the country until October. He didn't tell us when in October, so I don't know if he's even back in the country yet. But he does plan to come down to the farm once he gets back in the country. So hopefully we'll hear from him soon.
Yes, sir. Brother Steven,
yes,
I had
sir.
A question. So what in particular were you interested in learning more from Brother Farouk?
I wouldn't say there. I wouldn't say there's a certain skill set. You know, it's just just I didn't get a chance to go. So I actually wanted to. I remember Dr. Riz was talking about, like, he was, like Sister Ann just said, that he was going to come down to the farm, you know. So I was actually interested when he comes down. I'd like to come down too, but I was just trying to get maybe like a date, but he hadn't got back with you all, so I was just trying to plan to come down.
Okay, well, keep up with us. I'll let you know, brother. You cannot bring a camera.
Yes, sir.
Because the last time you brought one, you lost the film.
Yes, sir.
So we don't want you here filming, and we think that we got a video, and then we find out later it got drowned.
Yes, sir. I got you. Understood.
I'm just kidding with you. I just wanted to embarrass you. That's all.
Well, yeah, we fell off that jet ski, and yeah, that was the end of that camera.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah, we just wanted to embarrass you, brother. But yeah, you can bring a camera, please. But we're gonna download it for you. We're gonna download the information before you leave out of here, in case you decide to get on some more jet skis or some snow skis or some type of skis.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We should have done this.
We'll let you
left.
Know.
Yes,
we'll let everybody know when the brothers are planning to come.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you, Brother Stephen. Walaikum salam.
Yes, sir.
Well, maybe that's why they don't call in, brother, because I be busting people. Anybody else?
not yet.
You know, to address you saying that you are, what did you say? You're brutal?
Brutally honest.
Blatantly, well, I used to say brutally honest, but I think in further delving into it, you have not developed the feminine characteristic in you of subtlety.
Of what?
Subtlety. You don't have a filter to be subtle.
Dan, is that what they call a bedside manner?
Yes, yes, yes. Or politically correct.
Oh, my gosh.
You are correct. And
I know, I live with you every day.
Yeah. But, okay. All right, but look, in the end of that conversation, do you think that Brother Stephen was hurt?
Well, you know, your form of levity sometimes takes a minute to grasp.
we're going to give you another chance, Dr. Visley. We got a caller. We got a caller. Caller with the last four digits. Last four digits, 1965. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is William Muhammad from Louisville, Kentucky.
As-salamu alaykum, brother.
As-salamu alaykum.
Speak right up. My diving in is not a question. I would like for you to add to what I'm about to say. I have taken on a challenge to try to create a Ministry of Agriculture in Louisville, Kentucky on the small level, creating a community garden. And a lot of times, Dr. Ridgely, I don't need to ask you questions. I'm just a very good observer. And I learn by watching people do things and participating in what they do. I'm not getting a lot of participation among believers. As a matter of fact, the connections that I've been making have been with the church and nonprofit organizations to go into the black community to help support the things that they don't understand and don't have. And I want to allow the community garden to contribute to that. Give me some of your ideas as to what I could do to make this thing grow further.
Well, one thing I'd like to say is that don't put all your dependence on the people in the mosque. Oh, wait a minute.
Yes,
you're not doing that already. And to get involved with some community, some churches. Oh, wait a minute. Well, you're doing that already. And, you know, get involved in other organizations, other NGOs, nonprofits. Oh, wait a minute. You're doing that too. I'm all out.
Right.
All I can say, Dr. Ridgely, is you may not know it, but you're a very good teacher about what you do. And I think you do better doing what you do, and you back it up with what you say. So if anybody's offended, they'll just be offended because you don't offend me. And I thank Allah for you and all those who are helping you.
Well, you know, I love what you're doing. And, you know, we've been trying to get people in the Ministry of Agriculture to do this for years. We're not saying to leave the mosque, but sometimes you have to leave the mosque behind you. In other words,
you don't
leave the mosque, but you just have to leave people behind you who don't see things as you see on the level that you need to do and go ahead on and get her done. I mean, the minister's been telling us our nation is the whole 40 million, not just the people who are in the mosque. The Muslims are the 40 million. They're just not registered yet. So if there's people in who are registered who see as you see, then roll as you roll. But if you can't, if they're not there, then since you can find you a cadre, people that want to do it, and then, you know, try to keep them going. But when you start dealing with community gardens, now you're gonna run into some serious situations about work, and then about when that product comes in, about what they're going to do with all that product. Because we know, me and Sister Ann know, in particular, you're dealing with a church. But we know in particular this brand new church that was put up here in Albany, in about 10 years old, it has a beautiful kitchen. And, you know, all the latest appliances, except one major appliance, was missing. And that was the stove.
What's that?
The stove.
Oh, my goodness.
So you got a kitchen in a church with no stove in it. Imagine what they're going to do with the fresh product when it come off the vine. They ain't got nothing to do with it. So, again, you know, it'll be a learning process. But, you know, but then again, I was in Seattle. I was brought in by Reverend Roberts in Seattle. They have a farm. The church has a farm. And every weekend they set up at a strip mall. They set up their tent and they sell their vegetables to the community. So here you have, you know, two extremes. You have one extreme with some people you can't to come into a garden, and you got the other extreme of a preacher in his church who have actually been doing a farm for the last 10 years. So there are good and bad examples. So may Allah bless you, brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Well, alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother William. And we have another caller. Caller with the last four digits 0997. If you would state your name and where you're calling from.
Peace. This is Lorenzo calling from Hampton Roads, Virginia.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I heard, you know, the brother speaking. I heard y'all speaking. I seen the title of the show. I didn't know the platform y'all was coming from, but I see y'all brothers from the NOI. I'm coming from a different house, but I'm, you know, in agreement with everything that y'all are saying. You know, it's, you know, and I really appreciate, because, you know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teachings, The Message to the Black Man, that was really one of my first books that I read, you know, that was able to wake me up and shed some light in the darkness in my mind, you know. So, I, you know, it's coming to that point. You know, I'm looking around at the Black community in Hampton Roads, and, you know, we in bad shape, you know, emotionally, culturally, health-wise, you know, here, big time, and health-wise, just in all areas. And you know, when we talk about separation, and what was taught, especially by Elijah Muhammad, where he talked about doing for self and separation, a lot of stuff to me wasn't made clear at the time, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago when I first picked it up. But now I see now why he talked about doing for self and why you have to separate, because when you separate from a situation, you leave your nigritudes, or you leave this relationship with this place here, and you could go on and be a free people and go and be a people that, you know, are responsible for self and doing for self and have cultural privacy and whatnot and all those other things that come with that, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to say peace to the brothers, you know.
Let me ask you a question, Brother Lorenzo. What's your name?
Yeah.
Lorenzo?
Lorenzo, yes.
Lorenzo. Have you found you a group of people that you can work with? Have you found, you know, a few people who are down with you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, you know, well, I'm with the Israelite house or whatever I'm working.
I ain't talking about the labels. I'm talking about somebody who you know personally, who you all control, with a small cadre of people who see it like you and are willing to work with you on the project of, you know, whatever you're trying to do.
Oh yeah, so most definitely.
The reason I'm saying it like that is that, you know, we're not gonna be able to save everybody. You know, Mr. Farrakhan, he wants to save everybody. Okay, I love my brother for that, right? But I know I can't save everybody, right? So I'm just trying to find a few people who want to be saved and work with them and build something for the others who want to come along later. Saying that to you is find you some people who you can work with who got a vision like you got, and y'all build on that. Don't worry about the ones who ain't ready yet, okay? Find some people who's ready and move out and do whatever it is you're going to do. The rest of them either going to come later or they ain't going to be able to come at all because they're going to be dead. So I ain't worried about it. But this is our problem. It's been for the last 30 to 40 years, we've been still in the mode of preaching and trying to get people awoke. And now
most
it's time
definitely.
For us to run with those who are awoke and get something did for real.
Yeah, most definitely. Like I said, it's a doctor. I forget his name. He defined this word called, you know, menticide, you know, where people are systematically destroyed. They, you know, their minds are systematically destroyed. To a lot of their minds, they had a reprobate mind. And once you had a reprobate mind, it's really no salvaging or resurrecting your mind and your culture. So, you know, a lot of us have just been menticided, you know, whether it's through the music or through the culture, the music, the rap, the hip hop, the culture, whatever you want to call it. We just have been menticided as a people. So yeah, a lot of us, a majority of us are just destroyed mentally. And, you know, that the Bible teaches us that, you know, that he would come and gather a remnant of his people and take them back to the wilderness. So, you know, like I said, it's different houses of knowledge, but it's all the same understanding. And like they say, it whether us be a few that can survive, then all of us perish. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. May Allah bless.
Thank you, Brother Lorenzo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and this
okay,
is Sister Ann. Oh, you have someone else, Brother Carl?
No, go ahead, Sister Ann.
Okay, well, I was taking notes as everybody was talking. And, you know, I reflect back on the time leading up to the Million Man March and the time directly after the Million Man March. In particular, when the minister gave the instructions for forming the LOCs, the local organizing committees. And if we had been obedient, you know, we are quick to say, and we know, the minister does not speak idle words. Well, we make them idle when we don't follow through. We make his words idle to us when we don't follow through on the instructions that are laid out. I remember so vividly the instructions he gave about the LLC, because in my hometown at that time, I was one of the persons who was working on the committee to fill the buses to get the brothers to the march. Still wearing my hat as being a longtime community activist. And as soon as they got back, I stayed on that post trying to help those brothers to organize that LLC, and which we did. We organized it, and the LLC was a strong force. And if we had done that, and if they were still active, then they would be a natural progression to what Brother Sean and the brothers in Jackson are doing right now. I know it because in the LLC that we put together, we started an investment club, and it was really, really growing. However, when the minister even said this, he said, now, I want you to organize these LLCs, and I want you to get a Christian minister to head it up. In the same conversation, the minister said, I know some of you are going to have problems with that because you are not going to be the head of it, but this is what I want you to do. So we had the LLC in my hometown, and lo and behold, we did exactly what the minister predicted we would do, is not support them because we didn't head them up. We felt
we like, meaning who? We meaning who?
The brotherhood and the ministers in the nation.
Thank you.
But you made me lose my point. But if we had done that, the LOC in their development, because even after they were developed, there was they had the first conference, the first LOC conference was in St. Louis, Missouri. I went to that. And it was on the way to becoming something very crucial as an outreach for the nation. But we didn't see the value in it. And I don't even know how many cities still have an operating LOC. And what I saw, and all of this is talking about Brother Sean and his group, that would have been the LOC. That would have been your local organizing committee had developed this kind of friendship and bond through working together on community issues. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they are doing. That's exactly what they are doing. So all of that to say is that when we follow the instructions that the minister lays out to us, even though we don't understand it or can't see the end result at the time, be obedient to it. Mm-hmm. And in time, the value of it will manifest. But hearing what they are doing just made me reflect on what the LOC would have been to us in our various cities. They would have had people like the Brother Hollis. And because I remember all of those brothers, the brother and I who headed up the committee to fill the buses from our city, at the one-year anniversary of the march, we called all those brothers back to an anniversary celebration, which was a beautiful thing. And we still didn't have the full support of the brotherhood in the mosque at that time because they couldn't see the value in it. So we have let a lot of opportunities slip by and wasted a lot of time. But it's so refreshing to hear Brother Sean and the brothers in Jackson who have developed that kind of bond and friendship to go ahead and get some things done. Now, when we talk about V, being friends and working together. Now, some of the things that hinder us when we start making some progress, we don't, as individuals, strive hard enough to do self-development. You know, we have this series of lessons that we study. Self-improvement is the basis of community development. We have to internalize that, because when you're trying to build, and this is something you remember Brother Farouk said, and you just said it too, Dr. Ridgely, that we're not going to be able to save everybody. So, you know, if I'm struggling with a lot of personal issues, and there's a group that's out there trying to do something for the whole, if I come and bring all of my baggage and everybody got to stop the progress of what we're doing for the whole to fix me up, then I'm being a disservice to the whole process. And this is what we have to begin to understand when we're trying to build and develop for the whole of our people. Those of us who've accepted this knowledge and have access to supreme wisdom and all of our lessons, we have to get control of self, develop self, so that we can be an integral and a valuable component in the process that we're trying to develop, rather than being a hindrance. And I say that to also say, I don't know if the minister said it, I think you mentioned it to me, Dr. Ridgely, from something the messenger said, from one of his lectures somewhere. He was talking about we as believers should not, quote unquote, die in front of the people. Meaning to say, don't bring your burdens and lay them out in front of the people. We have a process where we can work on those, and that won't hinder the progress that is trying to be developed for the whole. And the last thing I want to say is mentors. You mentioned Brother Hollis, and the brothers took him as a mentor because they saw the wisdom in him. Now, one of the things I was blessed to be able to do, even before I became a registered Muslim back in 1980.
We're down to 90 seconds, Ann.
Okay, well, great. The show went very well. But being a mentor, we have to learn to choose people that we want to pattern some of our behavior from and to learn from. And that's how you develop yourself. But thank you for the time, and those are the comments I wanted to make.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Sister Ann, for that comment. Dr. Ridgely, Sister Sister Majida, I'm sorry. Please, close the comment.
Can I just say one, and I'll be very brief on what you said, Sister Ann, about us getting ourselves ready. I just want to say one of the tools that my husband and I used and we sat down with personally to help us determine if we were ready to make the move, a move transition like that in our lives, to have a better net future in our lives, was a tool that Dr. Ridgely developed called the mathematics of movement. It's an analysis. It's a tool that we can use to help us determine if now is the time for us to make that move or if we should wait and do it later. So it's a scientific approach to what we're doing. Islam is mathematics. We can't just go off of our emotions and our need at that time if the science and the math of it says you're not ready. Thank you.
You said it all. You said it all.
Well, one day we'll discuss that mathematics of movement on the program one of these days. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, I want to thank you all, our panelists, Dr. Ridgely, Sister Majida, Sister Ann. I want to thank you all for calling in and sharing your experience and your understanding of what we're trying to do based on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I want to thank our callers for calling in and listening to our show. And please tune in for next week's show. Same time, same station. And between now and then, please go to our Facebook page, Time to Leave. You can go to our website, timetoleave.us. And once again, thank you, and may Allah bless you all.
Next week, we will be discussing. Next Tuesday, we will be discussing what Minister Farrakhan said on that previous Sunday on the Day of Atonement. We will be discussing that. Okay.
That's right. So next week, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is speaking. And next Sunday, and after that, we will allow William will be discussing what he is going to enlighten us with. Thank you for that announcement, Dr. Ridgely. All right.
Sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand you?
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground.
Yeah.
Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my fifth tire.
A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain by brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me, the ultimate truth.